From the desk of Jessup Flower comes Author Brand Podcast episode number 3. Oh yes, I'm back. I admit it. And thank you for coming back. I appreciate that you're here. Obviously, it's been a long time. I'm not going to lie. It's been like months. And I guess that's just the nature of the game. So anyway, thanks for coming back. I'm going to try to bank a couple of episodes. So that way you guys have a couple of things to be able to listen to and hopefully build our brands together. So you probably also noticed I changed my theme music. Went to the movies, saw the Minion movie with my kids and had an awesome time. It's a great little movie, by the way. And one of the theater commercials had that music. And I'm like, I can't do that. I have to do something else. So anyway, hopefully that didn't throw anybody and they're like, you know, unsubscribing because of the fact that I changed music. If you did, you got some issues, man. Anyway, during the time that we were on a break as well, had a chance to be on another awesome podcast. I was on a podcast called Rabbit Trail Reviews. Make sure that you check them out and subscribe to them, like them on Facebook. It's a great group of guys. They're really funny. They do like an improv kind of segment. And we talked about the Avengers Age of Ultron together. We did a review on it and got way too nerdy, way too fast, but we had a great time. So make sure you check them out. I'm going to make them the official sponsor of this podcast episode. So thanks, guys. And anyway, just wanted to come back, read another chapter from the book or part of a chapter. This one might be long. And just to talk about writing styles and writing purpose and the process of it. So let's build our brand together. And thanks a lot for coming back. We'll see you after the break. By Jessup Flower. Chapter 3. Dingo rode into the little Indian village. Thank God in heaven that neither him nor any of his idiot posse had their horses step on that poor little boy's body like I heard they did when they raided the Siouxsie laws. Killed a bunch of them and just trampled their bodies like barbarians. Like savages. Now Logan Hartman told me this next part of the story, but I confirmed it with old man Blondja just to be safe. And that old bugger, he likes to chat, and I'd figured I'd get everything right if I'm going to write all this down. I have no clue how Logan heard this, though. Maybe he knew somebody in Dingo's crowd, I don't know. I just know when I hear they pass through and I try to tell it. I ain't never been to Daisy Hill. I ain't never going to go to Daisy Hill. I ain't never gonna do what some crazy kids do and camp on that old Cahalkan tribal grounds just outside Daisy Hill. They do it and brag about it after, say it's haunted and all such nonsense. You know, truth is, I bet they don't and say they did. That old area is just plain wrong. Don't know why, just is. Plain and simple. Well, anyway, Logan says that Dingo and his crew rode into that Cahalkan village and just all big and tough. I guess you feel like a god when you kill whenever you want, all that power to take away life whenever you feel like it, you know. Well, the one thing Logan didn't know was the names of all the buzzards with Dingo that day. He had a sharpshooter, though. That was easy to tell because of all the, you'll see. So they ride in and see all these Indians just looking up at them. They know trouble is here, but these Cahalkans, well, they don't mess around none. No, they're real tough. They were all real well known for fighting people off their land before. I heard, not from Logan, but from old man Blodgett this time, that some miners rolled in and tried to push them out. Well, they had some shotguns and picks and all, but those Cahalkans, they just run them right back out. Now, they only killed one and didn't scalp him or nothing. Just fired an arrow into his temple and the rest just ran like quail. So, when Dingo and his crew rode in, well, they just stood there and watched. No mamas pulled their kids in. No braves shoved their wives into the teepees. They all just stopped and watched. I asked Logan how many Indians were in that village. He didn't quite know, but from the impression he had, it weren't many. Maybe 30 or so. Just a small little wandering tribe or something, I don't know. So anyway, all the young bucks came out and stood a little in front of everyone else, but like I said, nobody left. Now, here's where Logan said it got weird. some old guy. I didn't get no impression that it was a chief or nothing. Maybe some kind of medicine guy or something. Just stands out there by his own weird little teepee. I guess it kind of looked different than the rest. Crazy feathers and bones all hanging off it, whatnot. Old man Blodgett called him old, too. He must have been real old. But this old guy, he's just swaying and singing. Swaying and singing like he don't even see nothing is wrong. Well, everyone else was ready for something to go down. They looked like they knew Dingo. They looked like they knew his type. They looked like they knew what he did to other places. They looked like they weren't too worried about it, neither. And that's what Logan said, anyway. Now, this young guy, some young, confident kid, he takes the lead and walks right up to the merry band of mudholes. Now, I guess he walks up and actually tries to smile. Holds up his hand, greets him like he's welcoming President Cleveland into the tribe or something. Now, this is as close as I can get to what Logan heard they said. Sorry about some of the language. I'll try and tone it down for the sake of any ladies who might be seeing this. The Indian tries talking to Dingo, but using his own language. His native language, you understand. Now, Dingo interrupts him, and he says, "You the chief?" Now, kid don't have a clue what he says. Dingo says, "Jesus, you live in America first, you ain't got the brains to learn American lingo. No wonder why we want you Redskins gone." And the posse just laughs. So Dingo addresses the young kid. Dingo suddenly slaps himself on the chest and dust flies. "Chief!" he yells. He then looks at one of his men and directs him to move back. The man obeys and guides his horse backward, and then Dingo slaps himself again and repeats it louder. "Chief!" Then Dingo points to the kid and asks him, "Chief?" The Indian is not an idiot, and he nods, tries to repeat, "Chief." Dingo says, "Well, I'll be, even big-nosed monkeys can learn." The posse laughs, a perfect moron crowd. The young man squints his eyes slightly. He knows he's been insulted. Dingo says, "Okay, chief, listen up. We come for the girl." Johnny's store entrance jingled with his childhood bell. Johnny looked up. A man and his wife entered the store. The man was very well dressed in a fine banker's suit. His wife, very pretty and delicate, had the largest and fluffiest hat that Johnny had ever seen. Johnny gripped the side of his desk to help him stand. His throbbing writing hand hurt even more when he pulled himself up, and he used his standard greeting. "Afternoon, folks. What are we doing for you today?" "Well, sir," the banker squeaked, "the lady here just had to have some little sweeties. Didn't you, little sweetie? Just needed some sweetums for the sweetum." The girl, who now showed how young she really was, giggled and pawed at him as if to half-heartedly brush away his silliness. Johnny wanted to punch the banker in the face and flick the cheek of the little girl. "Y'all want some candy, huh?" he said instead and shouted, "Julio, come on out of here." Now Julio popped out of the back room as if rifled from a Winchester. He was 12, but the best helper that Johnny could ever have asked for. He had only been working with Johnny at the store for 2 years or so, 2 years after his parents, well, just left. Julio's thick black hair hung almost over his giant brown eyes. Almost. Johnny constantly hounded Julio to get a haircut, claiming that it was good for business, but Julio never seemed to understand that phrase. "Lo siento, señor Johnny. No entiendo," he would squeak on those days whenever Johnny hollered at him. Julio was nearing his good old-fashioned Mexican puberty. You could tell by the voice, a little bit of a smell, and a light dusting of black hair on his upper lip, between his bushy black eyebrows, too. "Don't you see into me, you little tamale. You intendo just fine. You intendo dinner time, you intendo break time, and you intendo when it's time to go home. You know exactly what I'm talking about," Johnny would retort. And Julio would just waggle his head and keep on sweeping. Now Julio bounded over and did his best with his English greeting that Johnny was trying to teach him. "How can we help you?" The H's were guttural and thick, but functional. The accent was thicker than his hair. "Now show these folks the candy, Julio." Slight fear and panic in Julio's eyes, a questioning look. "Candy," Johnny repeated. Blank stare. "Candy," Johnny labored. Nothing. Dulce, Johnny attempted. Julio raised his shoulders nearly to his ears and simply smiled the biggest and goofiest blank smile. Johnny hailed the swearing, after all, that's good business, and heaved himself up out of the chair. Never mind, Julio, I'll show him. Sorry, folks, we're working on his inglés. The couple looked at Julio, closed mouth grins, waning patience. Julio pointed to himself and said proudly, Julio. Then he bared all of his teeth in a cheesy smile. The couple turned and met Johnny at the table. As they passed, Julio held out his hands as if to say, right this way, and then crossed behind them to the door, ready to let them out. Johnny had shown him how to do that. Good business. Well, Johnny said to the lovers, lean on over here and pick something out. They bent over the counter and began to coo and giggle at the rock candy and saltwater taffies. Y'all just get married or something? Johnny asked, not really caring. They looked at each other and burst into another fit of giggles. Well, he did, tittered the girl. Johnny looked at the girl, then the man. A rush of color went into his cheeks. Johnny wondered if it were shame or pride or both. Wonderful. His judgment got the better of him, and he needed to jab back just a little bit. Ah, well, that's a shame. I give a solid 50% off for newlyweds. He paused for effect. Looks like it's a normal price for y'all, said Johnny, eyeing the banker. The banker's smile took less of a sheen. The flush of red now ran full scarlet. Just a bag of those caramels, then, said the banker. 25 cents. Seems high. Going price. Not in the nicer towns. Junction City's nice enough, wouldn't you say, Julio? Johnny called over the banker's shoulder. Julio, Julio responded and pointed at his chest. Johnny smiled and continued. If you y'all don't want to spend that much on your sweetum, I can offer you some penny candies that might be very nice for folks on more of a budget. Make it 2 bags. Here's $1. Keep the change. Johnny's smile gleamed in silent victory. Well, thank you kindly, folks. Be good now, he said. The girl sniggered. The banker did not. Julio started a grand process of opening the door, but the banker ripped it from his little brown hand and yanked it ajar himself. They shuffled out, arms entwined, and the banker pulled the handle on the way out, and the door slammed and shuttered. Johnny watched his little bell bounce and slap against the portal. Julio reached out and stopped it. Stupido, Julio said. Sure as hell intendo that, little tamale, said Johnny. All right, there we go, chapter 3. So, wasn't as long as I thought. now we jump back into Johnny's narrative of talking about the history of Daisy Hill and what happened, and then it kind of breaks in and out of action as some guests come in to the store. This chapter really was my opportunity to introduce Julio. Julio is obviously one of the supporting characters, Johnny's friend or worker, as it is right now, and really, when I kind of conceived him or thought of him, I thought of them as a pair more than anything. Johnny, for a long time, was just a solo shopkeeper and kind of this, you know, large, lonely guy that kind of did his writing and relied on some of the news that came in from town and out of town. And we will probably see the Reverend meet him, as it seems that he's kind of on his way to meet him anyway. But there was something that was missing there, for sure. And I've had in the past, and you guys probably have too, as you've been writing, where you create characters, but maybe you create them for the wrong reasons. I know for a fact that I was writing one particular story, and I had all of these kind of sidekick type friends that were around the main character. And I realized why I was doing it is just because I had seen that done. Or I said, well, he's, you know, the lead character, he needs some buddies or what have you. And just as I wrote it, they didn't really stem from the world. They didn't stem from the story. They didn't stem from that need to have interaction with this particular character. I just wrote them in because I thought he should have friends. this is a totally different story, but a little bit off topic, but hopefully it's making sense. So I completely destroyed those characters. I didn't like kill them in the story. I just took them out and just changed it to where he was more of a solitary character in that one particular story. In this one, though, Johnny needed something. He needed someone. And especially if there's any kind of a need for something that's a little lighter. Obviously, the history is pretty disastrous. The Reverend is kind of down and having trouble with his faith and his journey. His relationship with Samson is good, but there's no real interaction there other than maybe what's in the Reverend's mind or in his heart as he kind of has that communion with his horse. But there needed to be some kind of back and forth, and hopefully, and it's not like it's hilarious in this particular portion, but a little bit of comic relief that simply comes from conflict. And just the act of having Johnny and Julio understand each other and work together, but they can't really communicate, adds a little bit of at least levity to it, a little bit of break in some of the monotony, hopefully. And so ultimately it's character building. So the writing prompt this week, depending on your characters, see, first of all, the motivation for creating that character, especially if it's like a sub character or a supporting, you know, part of the supporting cast. See why you created them, why you wrote them. Did you do it just because it seemed like that's what should be done? You know, it's a Ron and Hermione to Harry Potter, or it's a Sam to Frodo or something like that. Like, oh, he has to have a sidekick. Or did it really stem from a need that the character had, something that would be, I guess, lacking if you didn't have that in there? And then as you analyze that, make sure that those characters are fully drawn out. Now, obviously, Johnny and Julio are not fully drawn out yet. There's a little bit that we have from their background and history. But just even trying to describe not just their physical characteristics, but having a backstory involved. So just even that section when I wrote in that Julio had no parents, as we go forward how much you get into the history of Julio. But just that little portion right there will know Julio needs Johnny as much as Johnny needs Julio. And hopefully the two will create some type of a likable pair that readers will like. And so as you continue to build your brand as an author, make sure that the stuff that you're putting out really rings of character and story. I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but you probably saw this as well, but the new Star Wars Episode 7 is coming out. And the reason why I thought it was so kind of cool, it's not just the fact that I actually like Star Wars and I grew up watching the movies, but J.J. Abrams, who's directing it, in his interview about the movie, has said one thing over and over and over again, and that is, we're not trying to impress with new technologies or new graphics or even new special effects. We are getting back to the fact that this is a story, and characters, especially characters that we care about, have to be involved. And so character and story is really the focus of this week, especially your supporting cast. So enjoy your writing time. Really dig in and see why you've created those characters that you did. Do they need to breathe? And when they do, what do they look like? What do they, you know, what do they, not just their physical characteristics, but what's their backstory? What's their past? And why are they in the situation that they're in? So enjoy. Don't forget to, if you do listen to this and you subscribe to it on iTunes, it'd be great if you left a review. If you don't like it, don't leave a review, but just let me know. Let me know what you don't like. You can obviously contact me on Facebook or at AuthorBrand, podcast through the Facebook, facebook.com/JessupFlower. Would love to connect with you, and or email me. All my contact info is on JessupFlower.com. And until next time, have a great writing time, and we will see you.